BNS at 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, May 11th, 2018. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Before we dive into things here, we got to give a shout out. So we mentioned yesterday that Canadian Music Week is happening right now in Toronto.
Yes.
And we didn't mention that there's a big awards portion to this as well. There's like industry awards that happen at this.
Yeah.
And our boss was the program director of the year last year for the entire country, and he won again.
Again.
Christian Hall.
And a program director is like the, yeah, he's the head honcho, right? Like he's the boss, and it's pretty cool to win this because, again, as you said, it's across all the stations in all of Canada.
Yeah, of every format, every type of music.
Yeah.
He was the guy.
So, kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Two-time winner. Defending champion. Pretty cool. He's awesome to work for. He gives us so much freedom to just do whatever we want on the air and trust that it'll work out. And
Yeah. He's the best, but he's really good at doing that because it's like a quiet leader, right?
Yeah.
He's a guy who will help you when you need it, and then when you don't, he'll lay off. And yeah, he's not one of those micromanagers who sits behind you and goes, no, don't do that.
The furthest thing from it, yeah. So big ups to Christian. Congratulations on another win. If you listen to Angela on our midday show, she does these really awesome ukulele covers.
Yes.
She'll take like dark songs that we play and try to cheer them up with her, as she calls it, ukulele.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody kind of questions why she says ukulele. And it was because of a type of snob that she encountered. A music store snob.
She was at the music store and she was asking about, like, do you know anything about ukuleles? And she's like, the guy was like, I know enough to know it's pronounced ukulele.
Go eat it. Yeah, okay. Like, honestly. Oh, my.
Come on.
But the thing is that that's not that it's common, but everybody's experienced a music snob at some point or another.
If you play an instrument, yeah. Yes. When I was growing up, there were two drum stores in the city, and the one guy was such a dick that I didn't go there.
Yeah.
I went to the other one because his goal was like to make me feel like I knew nothing about the instrument every time I went in there. I'd ask him a question and he'd kind of scoff at it.
Yes.
It's like, that's why I'm asking you.
Yeah.
I'm a kid and you're the drum guy at the drum store.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm here.
They feel threatened sometimes, okay? Those music store snobs.
That's not a djembe, you uncultured swine. The djembe is from the Bambara people of Mali. This is clearly a sakulu from the Congo.
The song you're about to play is going to suck, so please don't even start.
Excuse me? I toured with Frank Zappa's second cousin as his bass tech, so I think I know a bit more than you do.
No, please don't touch the guitars. You don't choose the guitar. The guitar chooses you.
Yes, you can try that instrument, but know that I will be sitting here judging you the entire time.
It's not cajon, it's pronounced gah.
It's a gah.
X92.9.
Are a man's hands attractive to you, Shauna?
Like, the first thing I look at is your hands. Let me see your hand.
No, but like if you meet a guy and you shake his hand, like do you notice?
Do you
notice if they're smooth or calloused? Like
yeah.
If they're strong hands or if they're
dainty?
Yeah,
you kind of notice that for sure. Yeah.
There are a few guys at my gym who lift with gloves on.
Mm.
And I think, why? Like, I don't want my hands to be baby smooth. Like, I don't know. I just feel like a man's hand should have some wear to them, you know?
I suppose so. It depends, though. I mean, you don't want it to be too rough, because that hurts.
There's too rough?
Sorry. Like,
If
you pet somebody on the back, you know?
Like, if you pet somebody on the back, that's all what we were all thinking right there. When you said that hurts, we're like, yeah, when you're getting your back pet by somebody with calloused hands, so.
Well, I'm clearly covering for what I originally meant.
Huh, okay.
Well, you don't want it to be sandpaper. You don't want sandpaper hands because, yes, you know, when you give a girl a hug, you embrace her or whatever. If you touch somebody...
All that hugging.
Can we move on?
Yeah. I knew a girl who loved guys with rough hands. Like, the rougher, the better. No, damn it!
No,
damn it, Sean!
Construction workers outside are laughing at this.
Oh, man. Okay, so...
They have rough hands.
So not too rough.
Not too rough.
Right, because otherwise...
Yeah. It hurts.
It hurts.
The BHS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Yesterday during pop-up audio, we were talking... We played Death Cab's I Will Follow You Into the Dark. And
yeah.
I gave this stat about the number of people in the United States that believe in an afterlife. Mm-hmm. And I realized, Shauna, that you and I have sat across from each other for almost 4 years, and I have no idea what you believe when it comes to that. Where do you think we go when we die? I know this is super heavy for a Friday morning, but I was just like, I would be very curious to know Shauna's position on this because I don't know.
That's a weird question. I actually haven't even thought about that for a long time. Like, I don't know. I don't think, I believe in an energy of some sort, maybe. Like, I feel like there might be something, some sort of energy that moves on or something if we die, but I don't know if there's a heaven and a hell. Like, I don't necessarily believe in that. That's a really tough question to answer. Like, I don't know. I think I have to say I don't know. I'm not sure. What about you?
So it obviously doesn't affect your decision making at all then?
No.
No?
No, I don't sit there and go, if I do this, I'm going to hell. No.
Well, some people do, right? Like, some people base their morality around the idea of an afterlife. And
I think I just strive to be a good person regardless. Like, I don't have to think about the afterlife to decide if I'm going to do something horrid or not, right? Like, I just won't do it.
And I think that's the most mature way you can go through life, right? You're not doing it for some reward.
No.
You're doing it because it's the right thing to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was raised Catholic, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I was skeptical at times, but I bought into a lot of it. And then after high school, I kind of had like my angry, rebellious atheist phase where I was like mad at religion and, mm-hmm. and that, and I didn't reject it at all. And now I think I've settled into a nice place of like respecting people's faith.
Yeah.
But I'm the same as you. I subscribe to the school of thought of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't pretend to know. And I live my life as if nothing happens when you die.
Yes. I would never give an absolute no. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
I also would not be confident in saying that I think that there's some afterlife that we go to. Or I remember I was raised, Christian Science was my parents' religion, which is
That's
not
obscure.
Scientology. It's a very obscure religion. But yeah, they believed in like eternal life, right? Like eternity. And that creeped the crap out of me. Like, I remember as a kid thinking about eternity and living forever, and that actually scared me. I was like, I don't want it forever. Like, that is forever.
It's a pretty tough concept to grasp, isn't it? It's almost nice to know that there is an end, or to hope that there is an end.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to see your friends and family who have passed before you once you're gone, mm-hmm. but, I mean, you can't really count on that, can
forever.
You? Forever. Forever. Where did you get tired of those people?
That is a scary amount of time.
I'm going to move to a different part of heaven now. I saw a really funny tweet from a friend last night. She's moving across the country. She's moving to Toronto, and she's selling off all of her furniture because young people don't usually take their furniture with them, right? It's not cheap. It's disposable.
Yeah.
I guess she was trying to sell this coffee table and forgot to reply to this woman, and the woman messaged her back and said, "Why do you hate me?"
Oh.
I was like, doesn't that sum up the Kijiji experience just perfectly?
For sure.
Why do you hate me? Why would you do this to me?
Oh my God. The people that, it is odd, some of the exchanges you get through those selling sites. It really is.
Brings out some strange people.
Yeah.
We talked about that woman who was selling the police officer's costume. And then that other woman came to try it on and was like, you know, at work, they call me the officer.
All right, fun police. I'm sure the people at work are thrilled.
And then just some really flaky people, too. Yeah. Like, how often does that happen if you're selling something on Kijiji where someone's like, hey, is this still available? And you're like, yes, it is. Would you like to come see it? Never hear from
Nothing.
It again.
I know. Although I'm kind of like that, too. There's just so much selection is the problem. So, you know, you send out all these messages and the person who gets back to you quickest, you probably go with that. And then the rest is like, well, I'm done with it. You know?
Yeah. Or you send out a message and then you continue scrolling and the next thing is a better deal. And you're like, well, forget about that thing. So.
My favorite is like you put something up. I had a table up and I had it up for like $400 and somebody goes, is the price negotiable? And I was like, well, it might be. What are you thinking? He's like, $50. And I'm like, not that negotiable. No. Yeah,
who spends their time just going around like with insane lowball offers? And how often does that work out for you that it's, I see you're asking $7,500 for your car. Will you accept nothing?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. I'll take it off your hands
string?
For free. Like, what?
In 20 minutes or less.
So you got me on the Kijiji thing for sure. I was howling. And you know what it boils down to? Like, I grew up in a small town, and you ever go to auction mart sales or, like, farm sales before, any of you?
I haven't. No, I have friends that do, but...
Okay, so what... And it goes back to the farmers, and every farmer likes to brag about a deal he got. Everybody loves to say, yeah, you know what I picked this up for? And, you know, it's like going to Vegas, and nobody ever says they lose in Vegas. It's like, right. No, I want all this money.
Right, because you don't want to come back from the auction and admit that you were a sucker and you overpaid for something.
Yeah.
That's right. You never hear about those things. And then the farmers bury that at the back of their yard. But things they got for cheap that are good, they're like, no way.
And, man, those guys are cheap, too, hey?
Oh, trust me. Oh, farm auctions are crazy.
That's really funny.
They're intense.
Well, it's a sales tactic, it is, because it'll wear you down. Like, sometimes, especially if you're in person. Like, at least on online, you can just not respond to somebody when they say, can I have it for a bit of string? Whereas if you are in person, you're like, you know, they start going, well, and then they'll point out other things wrong with it. They know how to wear you down. Like, you're like, oh, damn it.
Cool. Yeah. I agree, and I have this guy I work with who, he's a bulldog for Kijiji, like, buying cars, or he helps people do things and stuff. And it is intimidating. And it's you know, setting boundaries is hard enough in life these days, because being Canadian, we always want to be sorry for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add that into it, and it's like, yeah, no.
But anybody who's willing to do that, anybody who doesn't have any shame, has a massive advantage over the rest of us, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it's like ingrained. It's like not sociopathic, but kind of.
Yeah. You're just like, I don't give a shit who I offend, who I insult. I'm here to just save money.
And it's all about money, and it's like, I'd rather exchange the... I've had some good experiences on Kijiji with stuff where selling off my kids' skis or whatever, da-da-da. And if I meet a good person, it's like, yeah, man, here you go. Like,
yeah,
you enjoy it. There's good energy with this gift. Please enjoy it. Or this good that I'm done using, and you're not buying new again, and I kind of like the premise. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really nice way of looking at it.
Well, it's like after the guy who wanted to talk me down for $350 off the asking price, somebody came in and actually paid full price, and I was talking them down. I was like, oh, no, it's, you can get it for less. If you,
right?
It's not the money, it's the principle.
Yeah.
It is. It's a principle. And as humans, I like good exchanges of things. I like using my money that I make to have an exchange of energy with somebody. Money's just energy. It's nothing but that. Yeah. It's like, if I have a good exchange with somebody about something, I feel good, they feel good, and we continue on with their lives.
You have a great outlook on things.
Yeah, that's
Thank
awesome.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Thank you. Craig.
X92.9.
I was reading about this woman who was asked to leave a store in England after employees accused her baby of breaking wind. Which is obviously ridiculous. However, it kind of brought back memories as to Mark from Mark and Millions in our afternoon show, who has a new baby, and his baby is fairly gassy.
I forgot about this. With the baby monitor?
The baby.
Were they like checking in on him? Oh, he's so sweet.
Was a lot worse than that. You go see his cute little angel of a baby who, you know, of course, babies are very cute and they're very precious at that time. You just go on the monitor and there's sound.
How old is Mark's baby now?
Oh, that's a good question. When did he have him?
A few months? 3 months?
3 months.
Yeah, I remember being shocked by that with our boys too, at how gassy they are. Like the sounds that can come out of such a tiny butt. It's like you only eat breast milk. How is this happening? Like, we put a lot of crap into our bodies, so I kind of understand that, but you're a baby. It's all natural. So.
Look at the tiny size of you. How can be coming out of you?
When Bo was gassy, I remember when we were young, we'd be out at the mall or whatever if he was stinky, and McKenna would be shopping, and Bo and I would just look around for people who looked like they were asking for it, and we'd walk past them and...
Just picture you holding your baby right out front, just walking around with it. Like, who can we bomb out here?
People who, like, thought they were too cool. We'd kind of go linger by them. Here you go. Here you go, cool guy. whiff that for a bit.
They're trying to pick up some ladies at the mall, like, just hanging, looking cool. And then all of a sudden, oh, what is that horrid smell?
Bro, it's not me. It's the baby. Sure it
no,
is.
That's
that
an
cute
angel.
Little baby.
Yeah.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was watching this video on YouTube last night. I don't know how I got there, but this guy was giving safety advice. And he was talking specifically about when you're in your vehicle and if you're traveling on like remote roads. And this was an older video from the 80s. And the things that he was bringing up are things that I had never really considered about all the things that can go wrong when you're traveling on the highway, particularly at night.
Yeah.
And he was saying things like, you know, even if you get into an accident, like don't ever get out of your car. Don't give the person your driver's license, stay in your car and like put the driver's license against the window.
Crazy.
Like people, yeah. Cause he's like, as soon as you get out, you're vulnerable. Hmm. And I was like, well, you know, we live in the cell phone era, so I don't really think I've ever thought about that. You know, even when I'm traveling between here and Saskatchewan late at night or whatever, I'm never that worried because you always have your phone.
That's interesting because there's still places where going up to my parents' cabin, for example, in Toronto, that there's no cell phone service. So
you lose service on the way there. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was, when I was growing up, yeah, there was a good chunk and it was pretty remote when we were doing that. I never actually thought about that. If I had gotten into trouble in those areas without cell phone service, what I would have done.
What would you do? Like, you know, are there places nearby that you could walk to? Or, I mean, you don't really want to be walking down the highway at night by yourself.
In remote northern Ontario, I believe on the highway, they used to have emergency phones on the road. And I know, I actually looked this up, and in the States, they had them, and they were like every 1.6 kilometers, I think, there was a cell phone, an emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 mile. And I know in Australia, they said they were, every 400 meters, they used to have a phone on remote highways for that reason. I don't know if any of those still exist, though. I doubt it.
I don't remember seeing anything between here and Saskatchewan. That's where I drive most of the time. There's just a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
There's like farmhouses and stuff, but I mean, if you broke down at night, do you really want to be creeping around somebody's farmyard in the middle of the night? Probably not. That's how you get yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard this story one time, and I don't know if it's true or if it's an urban legend, but this guy was talking about driving through the mountains in the middle of the night, and it was very remote, and he saw a body in the road.
Oh my God.
And he thought that, like, your first instinct would be, oh my God, I got to help this person, but he thought something was suspicious about it. So he's like, I'll wait till I get to the next stop and then I'll call. So he swerves around the body and he looks at his rearview mirror and there's people coming up out of the ditch.
That's terrifying.
So isn't that the scariest thing you've ever heard? Holy crap.
So terrifying.
Yeah.
No.
And you know, that sort of thing, I think years and years ago is even worse if you were a woman or if you were a person of color. Mm-hmm. There used to be this thing called the Negro Motorists Green Book, and it listed all the places in the United States, all the restaurants and hotels and service stations that were friendly to black people. Because not everywhere was, and if you were a black family, you know, going on a road trip,
that's so insane.
There were places where it would be dangerous for you to stop. Isn't that like the craziest thing ever?
Holy. Looking back and hearing about that type of thing, you're like, my God.
And they last printed this book in 1966, which was like within the lifetime of our parents and probably some people listening right now, too.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
Crazy.
Wild.
X92.9.
How much do you pay a babysitter these days?
That's a good question. We had a girl that we were paying, it was $16 an hour, and then she bumped her prices up to $19, and we're like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
So we found a girl, she's in high school, and she charges $10 an hour, and then we usually tip her at the end of the night, too. Right. And it actually, like, it works out to more business for her, because at $16 an hour, we were very, very hesitant to go out and to call the babysitter.
Yeah.
But at $10 an hour, we're like every week or two, we call her and say, yeah, we're going out tonight. So I guess it's more work, but it works out to more money in the end, right? There's more opportunity to make money.
And $10 seems very reasonable, and I'm sure that's why she does that. She has her prices a bit lower because she understands people will use her more.
Yeah.
I was looking at the national average, apparently, is $16.43 an hour for one child. So $10 is a good deal.
In Canada?
This is in the States, but I'm assuming it would carry over to be around the same in Canada as well. And I was like, geez, that seems high. Like, I remember when I was babysitting, it was like, I don't know. They give me like $30 for the night or something.
Yeah, I think I was, when I babysat, it was $5 an hour is what I got.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably around what it was for me as well. I remember there was a big competition in our neighborhood because there was one family who went away a ton and used a babysitter a lot. And so you wanted to be the babysitter they called. So I did all their dishes the one time when I was there. Kids went to bed. I did all the dishes, put it all neatly, and I won that challenge.
Good for you.
All me.
That's meeting market demand right there.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah, but yeah, $16.43, that seems high. So how, on an average night, what would that cost you? Like,
well, if we go to like 7:30 and we get home around 1:30, how many hours is that?
Eight.
I don't want to count. 6 hours?
Six.
So we'll give her like $70, $75, I think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, man, you don't think about this until you have kids, but like that tax that extra money onto any night that you go out. Like,
right.
If you're already spending money with whatever you're doing, if you're going to a show, if you're going to see some music or whatever, you're already spending that money, and then just go ahead and throw. And then, you know, sometimes we send her home in an Uber too. So yeah, add like an extra $100 to any night that we go out.
Yeah. As a plant mom, I can sympathize with that because I have to get a plant sitter, and it gets really expensive sometimes. Like, who's going to, you know, water the plants when they get thirsty in the middle of the night? Like, I can't just go out and just...
As a plant mom.
Pass out on someone's floor as a plant mom.
That's the thing, too, is I used to save money when I was younger by I would just crash at a friend's house.
Right.
But when you have a sitter waiting at home, you can't do that.
I know.
So I haven't yardied on anybody's hardwood floor for so long. I can't remember the last time I yardied on the hardy.
Was it at my place?
It was probably on your place, yeah. Like 5 years ago.
Curled up like a cat on top of a blanket.
That's how I sleep.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.